It is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill, our weekly check-in with Dr. Deborah Stroman. She's the host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill, but she is also a UNC faculty member, a University of Virginia professor. She's a sports businesswoman extraordinaire, former coach, former player, and we love having her on to talk about the intersection of sports with business and, frankly, with the rest of our lives. Happy Friday, Deb. How is it going?
It is hot. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we've got 95-degree weather in November. But I'm doing well. Lots of sports, a lot of great action.
Yes, it is. There's no doubt that it is hot outside. And, you know, the sports world is heating up as well, where we have an intersection of almost all of the major sports happening. Of course, missing some hockey and some hoops in there, but lots of exciting things. I want to certainly get to football in a little bit, since I think that's the main talking point with the NFL season getting started and college football kicking in. I want to talk tennis for a little bit because the U.S. Open is getting closer to its final and semifinal rounds. And Coco Gauff has punched her ticket into the U.S. Open women's final. Deb, she has been around for several years, but she is just 19 years old, I believe. She is absolutely spectacular and seems to be next up. That in and alone is extremely exciting, but there was also a newsworthy event happening at the match yesterday. Can you walk us through what happened?
Absolutely. And when we think about youth and sports, these non-contact sports, in particular tennis and golf, allow for that teenager to excel. I think it's still true. Jennifer Capriati, former tennis pro, she was the youngest major star in sport, and she was 13 years old when she turned pro. And then the next big two were Venus and Serena at age 14. But here you have a young person, Coco Gauff, who is making her way. And it seems, as you said, she's been around for a long time, but yet she's still young. And in fact, it's stated that if you haven't made your mark, as in competing for Grand Slam titles by age 27, 28, you're old. And in some other sports, actually, you're just hitting your prime. But clearly, watching the match last night, which was so exciting, there was nearly a 45-minute stoppage, because it's one thing when you're in New York and spirits are up and the alcohol is flowing. You'll get people speaking out loudly and not being respectful to the peacefulness of tennis. There were three protesters that started making loud noises and protest to the extent that it got all the way down to center court, such that security was brought over. And it took the first, I'd say, 15 minutes to escort out two of the protesters. But then they put the cameras on Coco and said, like, what is going on? Because she was talking to her coaches, Brad Gilbert. She was talking to the umpires, trying to understand she and the opponent. And eventually it came out that one protester had glued his feet to the cement floor of the stadium. And so they were having difficulty actually removing him. So it ended up being a full 43, 44 minutes. They got him removed. And what was found out is that it was all about climate change. That protests had happened at the French, had happened at Wimbledon, and actually Coco Gauff stated that she had a premonition that morning that it might happen during one of her matches, and it did happen. So the idea with protests, resistance, now it's going to the next level where you actually put yourself in a situation where you will draw attention because you cannot physically be removed immediately.
Yeah. And you know, this isn't necessarily the first time we've seen things like this, but I think it's fair to say that tennis, it is particularly disruptive, where people who are in the crowd are already going in with kind of the expectation and the manners of, okay, you need to be quiet at certain times to let the athletes work. That's different from many other sporting events. And then you have these people intentionally making noise to be disruptive and then causing that. I wanted to dig into this a little bit more because, you know, I think a lot of folks out there in our listenership would agree, yeah, climate change is a problem and it makes sense to try and draw attention to it. But I also think a lot of folks would probably say, well, I don't necessarily know if I want that with my sports coming from fans who are disrupting this match that I'm watching. And You know, again, this is nothing new. We saw this happen a couple of years ago in the NBA where people were protesting an owner and his treatment of animals, people doing the same thing, running out onto the floor, gluing themselves or strapping themselves to the basketball goal stanchion. We had an incident in a Formula One race not that long ago, Deb, that was a similar climate protest where somebody went and got into the middle of the track, and it could have been really bad if there wasn't actually a crash that happened before that stretch of the track, and the race was suspended for that crash. So, I you know, protests are and demonstrations like that are meant to be disruptive. But what is your take on it when, you know, sports are like a great place if you're a demonstrator to get people's attention? But also, I feel like sometimes it's a bad place because you're going to have people who, even if you're protesting a good thing, you're going to have people who are really grumpy that you're disrupting the sports experience.
Well, as it's stated, you know, where you stand often depends on where you sit. And so for the sports fan, there is no doubt it's annoying. Get out. You're interrupting my pleasure. I paid for a ticket and I'm not here to see you and hear your protest. From the athlete's perspective, it's mixed. There are some athletes who feel passionate about particular causes and they don't mind the interruption. It was interesting hearing Coco Gauff explain that she just took it as a rain delay. She didn't, you know, take it any further than that. She was just thinking about how much time she would have and whether or not she should get a quick bite to eat, whether or not she should drink more liquids than her regular break. But some athletes are okay with it. They accept it. This is a part of, you know, organizing and doing what's right. And then there are the people who are absolutely passionate for their causes. And, you know, bringing up the Formula One disruption, take it to the point where you will die. You will die for your cause if that's what it takes. And we've certainly heard about hunger strikes and people dying and people doing whatever possible. And that means the sacrifice of life. Certainly not something that we would want to see on the TV, right? Not expecting it. And especially when you have young children, they're watching and they're seeing something like this. But it can go to the extreme. There are probably, if I sat down and was really reflective, there are some things that I would go the distance for, as in I would lose my life for. Right now on the radio, quick call, I can't think of anything. But I do appreciate sports. I love the platform. I just wish there were a better way that our politicians, our policymakers, those who hold the purse strings, those who have the ability to use their positional power to make equitable outcomes, I just wish they would listen, because then we wouldn't have to go to these major platforms like, you know, sports to get attention.
Absolutely.
But to me, this is just a response to people not listening.
Yeah, once again, we're speaking with Dr. Deborah Stroman. It'll be curious to see, too, if this is going to lead to maybe another uptick in such protests as we saw with the NBA a couple of years ago. And as it sounds like, too, some other tennis events that have been on the calendar. One last note, too. So exciting for Coco Gauff. And, you know, I think her story is one that hopefully America can really get around, just because we're in this weird point in tennis where a lot of the stars that have been so dominant for so long are aging out. And, you know, Serena was really the American tennis icon. And with her no longer playing, or at least not playing right now, like, it's there for Coco. And if she can go ahead and grab the mantle at 19, if she's able to win the U.S. Open at 19 years old of all tournaments, I really think that would go a long way to, you know, wrapping the U.S.'s attention right back to it. I think Naomi Osaka fits into that category as well. But she's taking a bit of a break right now. And I just find Coco's story very, very exciting, Deb.
She is awesome. We've got Naomi Osaka was actually in the stadium last night, and Coco Gauff acknowledged her, you know, in her post-match interview. She is scheduled to come back. We've got Madison Keys, who lost a heartbreaker last night, was up 6-0 first set and lost the match. Coco Gauff is going to be the underdog for this. A lot of momentum, of course, but she will be the underdog. She's playing against the number two player in the world. Mm-hmm. And on the men's, you know, side, we have really a lot of excitement around Ben Shelton, the former Florida top player, who's just blowing through. I won't say blowing through the field, but he is really, really compelling. A 6'4", 200-pound lefty that hits 149 miles serve. So everybody's excited about that match in the semis.
Yeah, a lot of attention around the U.S. Open. I think it's fair to say probably more attention around the football season beginning, both on the college side, but also on the pro side. Fantastic game to kick things off last night between the Detroit Lions and Kansas City Chiefs. And, the more I've watched the last couple of seasons, Deb, and I know that you and I have talked about kind of your complicated relationship with the NFL, but what I am most impressed with is how distributed the talent is across the league. And I think a lot of people call that parity. I don't know if we've reached the point where it's, clear that any team really truly has a shot. There are certainly some favorites out there just based on the talent, but you go through the rosters, year in and year out, and for football it's different because their rosters are so big. But I feel like this is happening in the NBA too, where we just have so much athletic talent out there that things are naturally becoming a little bit more evenly distributed because there are just so many incredible, incredible athletes out there. Are you getting that same idea? What are you feeling when you're watching the NFL these days?
Well, studying the NFL for a number of years, it's been documented that the NFL is the most profitable and the most socialistic. And this is one of the challenges with college sports, because everybody operates on their own agenda, their own silo. The NFL owners, it is a fraternity. They decide who's going to come in. And if you're going to come in, you're going to play the way so that everybody wins. Every once in a while, you will have that rebel, right? Al Davis with Oakland, Jerry Jones with Dallas, where they try to cut their own contracts. They try to do things a little bit differently, but more often than not, they get called back to the, called on the carpet, or that lawsuits will be filed, but you will not break our fraternity. And the ability for the NFL to have a very calculated draft, such that everybody, you might not be a guarantee to make it to the conference championship, let alone the Super Bowl, but you're going to have a chance to compete. And that's why they continue to win with the fan bases. That's why the tickets go up, the apparel, everything. The companies have the millions of dollars to be an NFL brand, but they do it anyway. They continue to make money over and over again. And last night, people were saying, oh, the Lions don't have a shot. And I said, you're not studying the game. The Lions were on an 8-2 run at the end of the year. They have an all-pro quarterback, and they are on the upswing. And then knowing that two players for Kansas City were out, I just said, Lions have a chance in this. And I didn't pick them to win the game, but I thought they would have a chance to win for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about, continuing to make money, that fraternity, that machine keeps on chugging along, and at the same time, we know that that machine happens with a lot of, a lot of questionable decision making and a lot of use of people kind of ending up being, again, used up and then discarded along the way. I thought it was funny that, as the preseason was happening and as the game was happening last night too, a lot of folks noticing for the first time that, hey, that end racism paint that was stenciled in the end of each end zone in the NFL after 2020 is now gone, just replaced with play football. And I think it's fair to say everybody's excited about the season, but it was just another one of those reminders that the NFL is a business and they will do whatever is in their best interest to market to as many, to the most amount of people as possible. And, while they had taken up that cause for a couple of years, that's a pretty telling sign that they've already decided to move away from that.
Yeah, well, they're going to follow the money.
Yeah.
Some of the corporations are, doing the same thing. Sadly, there will be another tragedy, right? We had the shooting down in Jacksonville, which will galvanize the nation. And some people will jump right in and other companies will say, well, we're going to pause a little bit. But yes, this is until we figure this out, until we have a national apology, until we have constructive dialogue, until we have a deep, deep dive on the policies that are holding people back, the marginalized, the oppressed, the people in harm's way. We're going to have this need for people who have the platform, for sports teams, franchises, and conferences to lead and bring attention to the inequities.
No doubt about it. Well, I hope people can keep that in the back of their minds as they're having a fun football weekend, kicking off the NFL season and watching more college football. And I'm sure we will have plenty more time to dig into that and everything happening in this sports season in future weeks. Thanks so much, Deb, as always, and enjoy the rest of your Friday.
Thank you. Go Heels.